If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What has already happened, it's already been communicated in this offseason with Arturs Karnisovas' postseason presser, I'm starting to think that the futures of Billy Donovan and Arturs Karnisovas are more intrinsically linked than what we initially thought before. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, explain that more, and why I think the seat could be getting hot for AK and Billy Donovan, and the only way we're probably going to move on from either one of them if they both go. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to start our player grades, this time looking at Josh Giddey. And I'm going to do my pre-draft lottery and pre-draft combine big board for the Chicago Bulls. We're going to get to all that plus a little bit of the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And there was a specific quote, or a couple of quotes, from Arturs that now started me making me think that these guys are going to be linked together. I don't know if we're ever going to move on from Billy Donovan while AK still has a job here, and I would not be surprised if this thing continues to go left that they both end up having to be removed for us to get some significant change here in Chicago, right? And here's the quote from AK. "I thought he's done an unbelievable job to transform the group and accomplish certain goals of changing the way we played last year. He's done an unbelievable job, and I have full confidence in Billy." Now, one could say there are some truths in that. Billy has done a good job at transforming what the team did offensively last year twice, right? At the beginning of the season, they were playing a much different style than what they did at the end of the prior season. And then after the change, right after the trade of Zach LaVine, this team took that play style that they were establishing and it went a little bit further, right? So I'm always somebody who I'm going to be able to give kudos to where it's due, but also still be critical, right? It's not this either or. You don't have to sing either glowing praises and then not still criticize some things. You can do both, right? Billy Donovan had some solid coaching moments last year. He did some solid coaching things last year. The problem is Billy Donovan the guy to get over the hump? The problem is not just can Billy Donovan do good things. It's that you need a coach who's able to get a little bit more out of this team, develop, put players in the proper spot. And I still have my doubts over that being Billy Donovan, right? But the thing is it's not just even AK's words here, right? I always harping back to the moment that Billy Donovan said, "Yeah, I talk to Jerry Reinsdorf every day. Me and Jerry have a great relationship." Once you're one of Jerry's guys, you're one of Jerry's guys. And if it gets to the point to where Billy Donovan, who is one of Jerry Reinsdorf's guys, is fired, I fully believe that Jerry will look at that as like, all right, we got to clean the whole. If we're gonna fire my guy at a head coach, let's clean this thing completely out. Now, there's an alternate reality in this, right, where Billy Donovan maybe moves into the front office, AK stays on, that and it keeps going. A new head coach comes in. Hopefully, we get a new head coach. All that happens, but that we won't know for sure until we see how the next season goes. Ultimately, I think it comes down to this, right? You always have to look at how lucky are you getting. Right. And the fact of the matter is that when you look at this pairing, right, AK Eversley, Billy Donovan, it's way more comedy of errors than it's been really anything that we've seen, right? That's consistently good, right? And AK is just the thing that I keep looking back on AK as is just some of the decisions, some of the ways that he does not decide to pull the trigger on certain things and do it later, which puts you in a bad position. Some of his draft selections over the years, right? All those type of things. The contracts have more so been okay than not, right? But then you have things that it's not just, sometimes you can't just blame everything on being unlucky. Sometimes it's just stupidity, right? Like the Lonzo Ball contract. Yeah, it sucks that Lonzo finished the season on the injury report again and didn't play, the last 18 or so games of the season. That sucks. But when you look at it, it's like, you didn't have to extend him right there. You could have waited to see how the season went. Of course, with hindsight now, we see that Trey Jones played well. His season ended early, too, but, like, he played amazingly well. Doesn't have the injury history of Lonzo Ball. And you could have not signed either one of those guys to extensions, waited to the end of the season to see how it went, and look at that. You probably would have finished this and said, damn, Trey's the guy we probably need to keep around this team. Lonzo, we love you. We'll help facilitate something if we need to get you somewhere else, but it is what it is. And it's been too many of those type of scenarios for AK to where you can't just say that it's unlucky anymore. You got to start looking at it at being stupidity. Like, you really have to start looking at it as what it is. He makes stupid decisions. Like I said, he's made some really good decisions on I can name the number of contracts that were really good contracts. Caruso, great contract. Drummond was a good contract. Jalen Smith was a really good contract. Billy Donovan's not using him, but wasn't using him towards the end of the season, but that was a really good contract, right? I own Kobe's contracts were really good. P. Wills was stupid, right? We'll see what he does with Josh Giddey's contract, right? But those type of things. Vooch's, the money on Vooch's contract wasn't bad, but again, it was like, okay, we extended him where we didn't really need to, but, it is what it is there. So it's been a mixed bag there, too. At some point, you're not just unlucky, you're stupid. And that's the thing that it goes back to me on with AK is that how much of this is just being unlucky and how much is it that you're just dumb, that you just really don't understand what it is that you need to do, or you really don't do a good job at reading the room. And that's one of the most, as a GM, as a president, as a guy who's maintaining or making transactions around the league, you have to be able to read the room and you have to be able to do some future forecasting as well. You have to be able to project, what is the market going to look like, right? Am I taking advantage of moving this guy now because the market's going to look so drastically different in 6 months, so now we want to take advantage of it now, right? Do we want to extend this guy now because he's at a precipice of where the market could change for him dramatically, right? Those type of things. AK isn't good at doing that yet. He hasn't shown the ability to be good at that yet. So it's those things that play a part and play a role into why I'm looking at this AK and Billy Donovan thing. And like, AK, looking at the job that Billy Donovan's done, this is the first year in 4 years, I believe, maybe it's 3 years, where our record didn't get worse the year before, right? That's crazy to say that, right? The record didn't get worse the year than it was before. It stayed the same. Now, I do think you're in a different place because your roster is much younger, of course, but you're still here. And so, I don't know, man. I do think the question overall archingly to ask is the seat starting to get hot for our tourists. And I do think, because I think we got to go back to the beginning of this. Ownership wanted AK to keep Jim Boylan on. And many people then, when AK looked at that and said, no, I don't want Jim Boylan to stay on as we go through something new. I want to bring in a new coach. That new coach ends up being Billy Donovan. A lot of people thought that that was already going to kind of start the clock because you didn't want to keep a guy that ownership absolutely wanted to stay in that position. Now you have another guy. You hired Billy Donovan, another guy that ownership, seemingly from what we've known, absolutely wants to see stay in that position. Do you survive firing another one of ownership's guys? We'll see. And that may be part of what we're, again, this is all speculative, using bits and pieces of what we've seen and heard, but it does raise an interesting question. Is the future of Arturis Karnasova in this front office tied to the future of Billy Donovan? Unless maybe Billy, at the end of his contract, just decides to peacefully walk away. We'll see. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. Now, we're doing one of my most fun things to do this offseason, other than draft content, which, again, for those that don't know, I promise you, right? This is not hyperbole. You can ask anybody in the comment section. We are going to give the most detailed draft analysis for the Chicago Bulls over the course of the offseason. I'm going to get into my big board now. That's going to be kind of a high-level overview, top-down. But right after the draft lottery, we digging in. We going in, very much so in, to draft content. I guarantee you, nobody gives deeper draft content than here at Chicago Bull Central. But one of my favorite things to always do is do these player grades, look back, kind of talk about what I would like to see as it stands right now from players to build off on next season. And we're going to start with the player that this past offseason kind of started with, a trade acquisition of Josh Giddey, right? And so Josh Giddey came into the situation with the Chicago Bulls with already a lot on him, right? Bulls fans, you traded one of the Bulls' favorite players, Bulls fans' favorite players in Alex Caruso. You didn't get kind of the assets back that many people wanted back if we were to move on from Caruso in some picks. And you got this point guard in Josh Giddey that was coming off a season ending in one of the most disappointing ways a season can end for a player. You couldn't be played in the playoff series. Your team couldn't rely on you, and you played like shit. You now come over here, and fans are going to naturally have this already. Like I said, you have those things going against you, right? And for what it's worth, Josh Giddey came in here and handled it, for the most part, with stride. And I don't even talk about the outside of basketball things. We're going to focus on the basketball things here. And then with that said, he came in here, and it's been a tale of two seasons in a lot of ways for Josh Giddey, right? A lot of people like to always go to Josh Giddey's season started off like trash. It really didn't. The first five games of the season for Josh Giddey, he averaged 15 points per game, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, right? Under a block per game. He shot the ball 48% from the field and 48% from three-point range. Those first five games of the season, considering how Josh Giddey and the fact that Zach LaVine was still on his team, figuring out his way, actually started off pretty promising. It then fell off a cliff in the month of November. Month of November, only 10 points per game, 42% shooting from the field, 29% shooting from three. And that's where it goes to show, like, the beginning of the season kind of be a mirage at some times, right? December, a little bit better. 14 points per game, 47% shooting from the field, 22% shooting from three. Okay. Month of January, 10 points per game, 43% shooting, 36% shooting from three with 8 rebounds, 6 assists, right? That's where he started getting into the over a steal per game as well. I didn't mention in December, still in a half per game. In January, 1.3 steals per game. But then the month of February came around. And I know a lot of people like to talk about it as if it was just after the Zach LaVine trade. No, it was not just after the Zach LaVine trade. The month of February, he averaged 20 points per game on 50% shooting from the field, 53% shooting from three, 6.5 assists, 8 rebounds per game, 1 block per game, 1 steal per game. That was one of Josh Giddey's best months. The month of March, 20 points per game again, 9.6 rebounds, 9 assists, 1.5 steals, 49% shooting, 35% shooting from three. The month of April, 20 points per game, 13 rebounds per game, 10 assists per game, 47% shooting, 40% shooting from three. And then, of course, in the playing game, 25 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block. Didn't shoot the ball overly effectively, 28% from three, 42% from field goal range. He finishes the season with averages of 14.6 points per game, 8.7 rebounds per game, 7.2 assists per game on 46% shooting from the field. And then also, 7 triple-doubles this year? Josh Giddey, the way that the season went on and the confidence build, it was great to see from Josh Giddey. His chemistry with Kobe White, right? When you look at his assist chart, he was one of the main people getting Nikola Vucevic involved as well in the second half of the season. He created almost as many points off assists as he did scoring himself. That's really big from a point guard like Josh Giddey, right? So there's been a lot of promise from Josh Giddey. And for those, listen, Josh Giddey stands. You may be surprised. It's very hard to get an A from me. So I want to be clear on that. Stands, not fans. It's very hard to get an A for. I'll tell you this right now. There's probably nobody on this team that's going to get an A for me other than Modest Bouzelis, mainly just because of expectations are much lower for a rookie, especially a rookie under Billy Donovan. But I'll explain that when we get to that, right? But Josh Giddey and what he did this season as a creator is the thing that was so crazy to me. Almost 18 points per game created off assist, right? That we haven't had an assist creator like that on this team since Rajon Rondo was on the team. And even then, it wasn't that high, right? Now, some of the things that Josh Giddey needs to work on, turnovers. The almost 3 turnovers per game was concerning, right? And when you look at the number of those that were rated as bad passes, so almost 3 turnovers per game, 2 of those turnovers were on average rated as bad passes. So that's just, I know Josh Giddey is going to gamble. He's a point guard. He's going to try to make some plays and thread the needle there because he is such a good creator. But I just want to see that tighten up, right, for Josh Giddey, because I think if he can get down those turnovers to more like 1.5 per game, then you're looking at one of the best assist-to-turnover ratio people in the entirety of the league, right? And so that's what you really need to do with as well. But then I said the creation part of Josh Giddey's game. 5 points created a game for Nikola Vucevic, right? That's directly that Josh Giddey created. When Zach LaVine was here, 3.2 of those. 3.5 for Kevin Huerter. 2.4 for Zach Collins. 2.4 for Kobe White. 2.1 for Io DeSumo. 2 for Trey Jones, right? What am I giving you here? Basically, every lineup combination that we could see, Josh Giddey helped create and put the ball in the hands of those players and help them score a little bit, right? That's what you want to see from your 22-year-old point guard that still has tremendous upside as well in this league, right? And then the blocks. The thing that I started liking about Josh Giddey is the way that he started understanding, hey, I got size on this point guard even with the smaller wingspan, but he has size because of the height, and those steals on those blocks playing those passing lanes were really, really good for Josh Giddey, right? Him attacking, getting to the free throw line, right? That was the one thing that for him and Kobe White, I wanted to see. How much better can you get to the free throw line, right? Because I think that that's a part, especially for Josh Giddey, not always being the best shooter. In games where his shot isn't falling, if he can get to that free throw line, that's going to help. Josh Giddey almost doubled his free throw attempts from last season to this season, and a lot of that coming on the second half of the season. If Josh Giddey, over the entirety of a year, can get to doing that more often, get to doing that and getting to the free throw line, that's going to help his game so.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Much more, right? That's what you can see from that. Over the last 20 games of the season, he averaged almost 6 free throw attempts per game, right? So that showed an understanding over how to get to the paint, right? How to draw those fouls, how to be a little bit more crafty, right? So Josh Giddey showed tremendous things. Now, of course, the defense came and went at times. There were games where Josh Giddey was absolutely really solid defensively, right? Not amazing. And Josh Giddey said himself he's probably never going to turn into a lockdown defender. But given the effort on that side of the ball, you could tell that was a focused effort from Josh Giddey. He's going to need that going forward into his career. Josh Giddey showed the flashes of everything that we want to see from Giddey. The biggest question coming that a lot of that came over the last 20 to 25 games of the season. So because of that, you're looking at it, and of course, there's, again, I always say there's an understandable reason for some of the doubt around Josh Giddey and if he can do it again. Post All-Star break, 21 points per game, 45% shooting from three, 50% shooting from the field. Pre All-Star break, 12 points, 44% shooting, 34% shooting from three. So somewhere between those two things is where you want to find Josh Giddey as a scorer. But the things that he does other than that, the steals, the creating shots for his opponent, for his teammates, the rebounding, how that helps you play this fast-paced style that the Chicago Bulls are looking to play. All those things play into the fact that Josh Giddey had a very, very good season here for the Chicago Bulls, and I'm giving it a B+. Again, A's are very hard to get for me, so Josh Giddey stands. Don't start tripping and typing and getting all upset. It's just very hard to get an A from me. But Josh Giddey is right there. Josh Giddey had an incredible season, and my hat's off to Josh Giddey for the season that he had. I'm grading Josh Giddey a B+ this season. If he would have done this for the entirety of the year, it would have been an A+. Absolutely, right? But the signs of concern there at the start of the season, I just want to see and make sure that Josh Giddey is going to start this off next year doing that. And if he does, great. The Bulls, they got them one. He's going to get paid this offseason as well. But with that said, last topic before we dive a little bit into the mailbag, I do want to get into my big board for the Chicago Bulls. And this isn't necessarily big board as far that it's ranked one through whatever. This is just the players that right now, based off the Bulls having the 12th pick before the lottery, some guys that I'm looking at, and one guy that's outside of that. But I'll tell you why I have him on this list. So first up is still Asa Newell, right? And Asa Newell, to me, 19 years old, 6'10". We got to see if that's legit. There's been some questions on the legitimacy of that 6'10 rating height there. We'll see what happens to that. The over 7-foot wingspan, I think that Asa, I told you guys before, Asa Newell and what he can be defensively, right, rebounding-wise and shot blocking, and with his switchability defensively, is exactly what the Chicago Bulls need in a big when you have Josh Giddey and Kobe White on your team. The ability to come over on pick and rolls when your guards miss that thing is going to be really good. He does have to get stronger. He does have to add to his frame, but we've seen that before. We've seen that with Joakim Noah, somebody who defensively actually compared very well to Joakim Noah. In his switchability, not necessarily the caliber, right? We have to see what caliber of player he's going to be. But then also, you look at his offense. His offense is really fluid. He just has to, he has things that he needs to work on. It's going to be tough for him to get some of that off in the NBA right away until he adds to his frame, right? He's also a lefty, which you got to look at that sometimes when it comes down to it. So with all those things, right, he's really good. He's a solid scorer, solid defender, solid rebounder, right, when it comes down to it. But the way that he deals with contact as a center right now is a little bit concerning. His rebounding rate is solid when you look at the rate, but the number isn't necessarily that great yet, right? So all those things shaping up to be there. But I really look at this guy, and I think he even has upsides as a shooter that he can develop into. So Ace Newell is definitely somebody who's on my board. Next up, Noah Esengu. I always mispronounce the guy. I'm going to get it together before the draft. The 6'10", 200-pound, small forward/power forward guy out of France. Listen, when I tell you guys right now, if you're looking for somebody who can pair with Matas Bouzilis, and you have those switchable forwards, I love knowing what he could bring, man, could be so good. He's so gifted physically, and he's better defensively, but and he's not as rounded scoring-wise. So, like, him and Matas have the opposite things. Matas was raw defensively, and he developed, but we know what Modest can be as a scorer, especially in transition. Noah isn't going to maybe not score right away, but his upside as a defender, his upside even as a scorer is huge. He's definitely on my prospect list for the Chicago Bulls. Then next, Rashear Fleming. I love this kid, Rashear Fleming. 240 pounds. He has the size. He has that physicality, right? He uses his frame. Amazing athlete when it comes down to it as well. He's explosive. He could be a really good high motor four for you, maybe even a small ball center in some cases. He struggles to create his own shot. But I think when you have a point guard like Josh Giddey, you're maybe not worried about that as much, right? I think that Josh Giddey could really go well with Rashear Fleming and help with that lack of creation that he has sometimes. But I absolutely love Rashear Fleming for this Bulls team as well. He's another guy that's really falling very high on my draft board. Again, this isn't necessarily in order. It's just guys that I like so far, and I'm doing a deeper dive into their skill set. Next up, Derek Queen. The question with Derek Queen, the biggest question here with the Bulls is that he is so ball dominant. And when you already have Kobe, you already have Josh Giddey, and I don't know if any team's going to allow Derek Queen as a rookie until he proves himself to be as ball dominant as what he was able to do in college. And how he plays off ball, that's going to be the thing that has to be creative there, right? That you have to really look at. But when you look at his like comps for him, like Zach Randolph is a really great comp for him when it comes down to it. The defensively, though, that's where we're going to have to see how he develops into that, right? And he's not really the anchor that you look for on a defense with Josh Giddey and Kobe White and the players that we have here, right? So that's the kind of problem there. Defensively, he's active, which is always a good sign. I've always said that players who are active, even if they're not the best on-ball defenders, that's a really good sign of who and what they can turn into, but there's a little bit concern there. Next up, Thomas Sorber. I love this guy's game and of his skill set. I think he has Roy Hibbert type, prime Roy Hibbert type upside as well for in the NBA, right? Long, very skilled, right? Great frame and body. He deals that as well. Well over 7 foot wingspan. So I'm not really worried about the size that he has there as well. 14.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists as a freshman with Georgetown. This kid is absolutely an active player, and you love that activity, especially, like I said, in the type of offense that the Bulls are running as well. 72% shooting from the free throw line as a freshman. Solid there, right? So really good things there. And overall, he doesn't have the high-level vertical athleticism. So that there is what it comes down to, right? He has promise as a rim protector. Still some concerns there as well. But I think he'll be perfectly fine when it comes down to that. But his lack of finishing above the rim could be a concern. But I'm not too worried about that as it stands right now. Has solid passing ability as well as a big man, which I think is really good and really important in the modern NBA. But overall, I really like this game. This kid's game, 19 years old as well. He doesn't turn 20 until December. So we're talking about we'd be a couple of months into the season before this kid even hits 20 years old. I really like Thomas Sorber. I think he could bring a lot for what the Chicago Bulls team needs. And then the last guy. And the only reason that he's on here is because I looked at a couple of big boards and a couple of mocks, and some people have this kid falling as low as 10th. Not very many, though. The Ringer, their big board has him being the 10th on the board. But that's Trey Johnson. Listen, if the Bulls are going to move on from any of their guards, I love Trey Johnson. I love the concept and the idea of Trey Johnson playing with Josh Giddey. I think their skill sets would fit very good together, but that would mean probably moving off somebody, maybe not immediately, but in the future. But if Trey Johnson was there to happen to fall to the Chicago Bulls around that area, which, again, I don't expect, but if it were to happen, he would be the number one pick for me. If he somehow fell to the Chicago Bulls at 10 or something, which they won't. The Bulls are either going to be top five or they're going to be number 12. But if you were to go there, you take him and you run away, right? And one of the reasons outside of that is that coming into last year's draft, and now until he started falling, I didn't plan on covering Manus Bouzelis because I just thought he would go way too high for the Chicago Bulls. But you never know in drafts. So Trey Johnson, definitely going to be on that list as well. But again, I don't expect him to be there for the Chicago Bulls at all, personally. But all right, y'all, let's go ahead get into the mailbag. We've got two voicemails I want to catch up on that came in like Saturday that I haven't gotten to yet. This one is from Reginald.
Hey, so just talked to a video of the Bulls firing Hugh Hatton. And not surprised at all. Of course, you take the one coach who we all universally agree did the most for the Bulls. And, yeah, they fired him. That'll be the most ridiculous thing the Bulls did since giving P. Will that contract. Don't be surprised if the next thing you hear is Billy Donovan getting another secret extension. Don't be surprised if you hear, I don't know, that the Bulls can like pick someone like another guard for some reason. And then you're going to have AK come out there and badly communicate how he's building for the future. And once again, just be patient. Just stupid shit like that. But, you know, that's what we expect from this franchise now. That's honestly, I mean, this has to be, Chicago Bulls have to be probably one of the five worst franchises in the NBA over the last couple of years. I mean, wow. It's just bad. It's not that they've had bad luck. They purposely make stupid decisions that don't make any sense. And then they expect you to, they expect their fan base to just be like, ride or die with their decisions. Wow. That's just how I feel. But hey, thanks for reporting it. And I feel the exact same way you do. It makes no sense. It's frustrating. But thanks for putting that out there. Try to get through this summer. I don't know how to tell you. Bye.
You say you're not surprised by the Patton firing, but you hear it all in your voice. You are very much surprised, as we all were. I think that caught everybody off guard because it's just the one that just, it didn't make sense. It really didn't make sense. You didn't have to do that. But, you know, that's the Chicago Bulls for you. And we'll see what comes of this Peter Patton hire. Like I said, they do have Dan Craig, Wes Unseld. Both those guys have been heads of player development before. So maybe there's some thought that those guys can really head that department there now. And we'll see. I'm not saying that I'm overly optimistic for it. I think you want to have your world-renowned guy in Peter Patton, somebody that seemingly all the players loved. But, hey, the Bulls made their decision. And now, unfortunately, we and the players have to live with it. But let's get into this next one. And this one's from Shea.
What's up, Hayes? It's Shay. Look, man, I know a lot of people have been thinking, oh, the reason why Peter Patton didn't get fired because of Patrick Williams and all that. Let me tell you something. I don't believe that that's the case because, you remember, at one point in the season, Billy Donovan was frustrated with Patrick Williams. What I believe is this. Peter Patton wanted a more prominent role on the Chicago Bulls coaching staff, and then he probably wasn't going to get it, and I believe that it was a little bit of friction between him and Billy Donovan. Because let's face it, almost every one of the players likes this guy, but yet you have an issue with him. Either it's a problem with him being down or him in the front office. I don't think it has nothing to do with Patrick Williams, because think about it. Billy Donovan was frustrated with Patrick Williams. At one point, Patrick Williams went from a starter to a bench player, and now he wasn't even sixth man. He wasn't even the first guy coming off the bench. Zach Collins or Julian Phillips was. So, nah, I don't believe that. I think it's either a problem with him and Billy Donovan. I believe it was a problem with him in the front office because there's no way that Patrick Williams has that much power. If he did, he wouldn't even lost the starting spot. Period. Anyway, hey, tell me what you think. Peace.
See, I think you misunderstand what people are saying, which you oftenly do because you're so quick to want to say something that I don't really think you listen. I don't think anybody's saying that Patrick Williams went to the front office and said, yeah, this Peter Patton guy hates me. Get him out of here. I do think that there is some of that Peter didn't believe in the guy that AK still very much so believes in Patrick Williams. And therefore, it caused some of the discontent. But I think we also heard that he wasn't a yes man. AK wants to be surrounded by yes men. I don't think Peter Patton wanted a higher role in the coaching staff. I think he had his own department and his own thing. Peter Patton isn't an X's and O's coach. He's a development coach. He's a shooting coach by nature. So it's not really the same thing as that. I don't even know how much him and Billy Donovan really interacted for that much. But I do think that not towing the company line is probably what got Peter Patton out of here. On top of, you know, the P. Will thing being one of those things that just stood out as the difference between how he saw some things and the front office saw some things, and that added to that divide, I think is what we're trying to say here. But ultimately, we'll see what happens, man. But guys, thank you for leaving those voicemails. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Fraîche, le spécialiste des produits frais. T'as vu? Il y a un nouveau magasin Fraîche à Redon.
Oui, à nous les produits de saison bien frais et les petits prix chaque jour. Et aujourd'hui, le kilo de courge butternut est à 79 centimes.
79 centimes le kilo de courge butternut? Ok, on fonce. Fruits, légumes, viande, poisson, fromage, traiteur. Fraîche, à Redon.
Ou 1,29€ le kilo si coupé. Origine France. Pour votre santé, limitez les aliments gras, salés, sucrés.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.